Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watched on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, hey, hey.
Lon?
Yes?
You, I feel Nikki vibes.
Poor guy. I don't know. He couldn't catch the break. We can get to that. I have a hot take on that.
I know. I read a lot of popular and unpopular opinions about their section. But, well, let's get started with a couple that's not quite talked about because their season ended earlier than most. Devin and Nick. I don't think we ever covered them during our coverage of this season 10 of 90 Day Fiancé, because by the time we covered it, I guess their scenes were over. They right. got married, and I guess that's it.
It was such a short stint. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about them, to be honest. I forgot about them, and then they showed up, and I was like, oh my gosh. But I thought Devin really looked amazing. I thought she was beautiful.
Devin, I would say, is the kind of person that I would mistake for an Asian, even though she's clearly not Asian. She's like, remember the singer Bjork and how people think that she's Asian? And she, I think throughout her career, like, she insists that she's Icelandic, whatever that means, right? She could have been like, maybe she had some, what is that, Inuit? Is that the people that lives in like igloos, you know?
Right.
I mean, they do kind of look Asian, and she's, but she has never revealed
features,
what kind
the
of
features. Yeah.
Yeah. The features are so Asian. Like when I look at Devin, she could pass off as a Korean who did some plastic surgery on themselves.
I even sensed an accent when she was speaking. Like, I don't know. I thought I heard some kind of like.
She does have a strong Arkansas accent.
It didn't seem to me. It sounded Asian though. Maybe she spent a lot of time in Korea.
Yeah.
So I was picking up that side of it, and I was like, yeah, huh.
Just like how I pick up Nick's Aussie pronunciation of English,
yeah,
because he spent a lot of time in Australia, and I think that's where he picked up English. So his accent when he speaks English is more Aussie, and Devin, I can detect the drawl, like the Arkansas drawl from him, maybe,
yeah,
because she drags her. She kind of slurs, not slurs, but she kind of drags a word. And yeah, the way she talks, she can really put me to sleep. Like she really talks like drags, you know, like that. But
and
I guess
Nick is Korean, right?
Yeah, Nick is from Korea, South Korea. I'm kind of glad that they both admit that they're introverted. I guess that explains why they're like, can't be bothered with the drama. And even the whatever drama that they could muster up from them, it's about the name calling, right? Calling her Piggy, which I truly believe where he's from, it is a term of endearment. But I get that when you bring that over to the US, it doesn't really bode well because, you know, Miss Piggy from the Muppet is, you know.
Right.
So, and that's the only problem.
The scene, though, I didn't see that scene originally because it was a scene that was in the four episodes that I missed out on.
Yeah.
But seeing that scene was pretty harsh. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it just did not play out well for him when he was like, oh, lazy. yeah, because you're lazy and you're, you know, fat. And I was like, this does not, it does not look good at all.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, I give him a pass for, you know, the cultural difference, but at the same time, once you've been educated and informed, it's on you to take on that responsibility to adapt. Like if I went to Japan or any other place in the world and I said, oh, in America, it's actually not as bad and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, here it is. I would adjust myself. I wouldn't say, well, I'm going to keep doing it because in America, it's not taken that way.
Yeah.
That frustrated me about him because he kept insisting, you know, and I'm like, okay, but you know that it could be perceived as hurtful. Even everyone was like, well, did she lose weight because of what you were saying? You know, and yeah, she had been at this weight previously, but you know, you understand that it could be hurtful to an American. You understand that there is this difference. Why haven't you adapted then? You know, he kept fighting so hard for it. Eventually in the end, he turned around and he apologized for it, which I thought was good, but it was a bit late for that. And, you know, for me, it was just so frustrating. Like, you know, it possibly hurts her, you know, it offends the family. Like, why don't you just adapt? And it just, the stubbornness really just got to me, because if it were me in any other country, I would have adapted to it.
Yeah, I think it just seems like he has very, I don't want to say low EQ, but he just couldn't read the room. And I get that he's being direct, like, because I mean, let's face it, right, it is kind of almost factual what he's saying, and I'm sorry Americans, but like, it's not the kind of stuff that you say to strangers. It has to be something that's said in private, I would say, you know, like calling each other piggy or whatever, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure couples behind closed doors, they have weird nicknames for each other. I just wouldn't say in front of your in-laws. I wouldn't recommend saying it in front of your in-laws. And that's why I said I wish he had read the room better. And even during the tell-all, he was saying stuff like, well, have a sense of humor.
Right. Thought, it's a joke. Have a sense of humor, guys, or something.
I'm like, yeah. I can see both sides, though. Like, I see that he's being direct, and probably culturally, that's what he's used to. But then, like, if only he could read the room and be like, oops, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe piggy is not a term of endearment to the people here, and of all the people, I shouldn't be saying this in front of my in-laws or, you know, her entire family about calling Americans fat or whatever. It's just not a nice thing to say over lunch or, you know, especially with family around. So,
yeah, to me, it felt like he was prioritizing proving a point over like how people felt. Like, okay, I know how you feel, but this is my point and I'm going to stick with it. And I'm just like, come on, dude.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, before we move on, I just want to say, I think Devin is quiet luxury. I don't know if you noticed, but I hate to comment about this because I'm not about being consumerist, but I noticed that she had those Christian Louboutins. And I bet that pair of shoe alone is more expensive than what Nikki Exotica or what Jasmine is wearing, because yeah, those are very expensive pumps, but your girl Devin's wearing it and I like them as a couple. I just find them like probably unsuitable for the show, but as a couple, I think they're very classy. You know, yeah, they have problems here and there, but it's not dramatic. And
it wasn't super dramatic.
Yeah. And I wish that TLC would get more of these folks, right? To balance out the Jasmines and, you know, the craziness, the Angela, I hate to say that, but she who shouldn't not be named. Right. You know, like to just balance out those people. Like you have the normal and you have the super crazy on the same show. And I think that balances things out and that will probably get more viewership in my point of view. Like
for sure.
This next couple that we're gonna talk about, Citra and Sam. Like, super normal couple, no drama. You know, Citra found out that Sam had a one-night stand with one of his Uber passengers. And she's just like, okay, well, that's in the past. You know, now we're having a kid. And by the way, they're having a girl. I saw that on their Instagram, which is so cute. They had a gender reveal party. But yeah, like, they're the kind of couple that I would actually stick around to watch, because it's a break from the craziness and the fake drama from all the other cast members.
For sure. Yeah. There was almost like nothing to talk about. So the show was fishing for drama to talk about. Like, why can't we just be happy for them? Right? Yeah. Like, you know, he's going through the struggle and he was like, you know, I just got to keep my head straight and I'll be fine. We're expecting a baby, you know. Well, why don't you tell us about that one time? And I'm just like, seriously, yeah. Like, you just want this tell all to have fights. And, you know, especially the second episode of, or part two, yeah, of the tell all.
Yeah.
It was just like, everything was like, well, you know, we got to get them to fight. We got to get some kind of fight out of this. And it was like they didn't take the bait. Yeah, right? Like, the most Citra did was like kind of kept a poker face. You could kind of see there was some disappointment. But you're right. She handled that. She was just like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've built a lot of trust since then. And that's in the past. But they were really hoping that she would like flip out and be like, you didn't tell me the whole truth and stuff like that. And she could have. Because I believed her story. Her story was definitely more detailed than his. So I felt like she wouldn't just pull these particular details out of thin air. And she could have made a big deal out of it. And it could have been more dramatic television.
Yeah.
But I like that she didn't take that bait. They don't need to fight about it. And they continued to be like the class act, right? They've been throughout the season.
Yeah. I also didn't appreciate that TLC kind of like tried to rake them through the mud in a way, like trying to get them to bite the bait, because he's pregnant, y'all. Like, pregnant women don't need to go through that kind of shit, you know? And for TLC to do that to them, yeah, I totally lost respect there to whoever the producer is that thought it was a good idea to like bring up that kind of drama. Because at that time, during the filming of that tell-all, she was only 12 weeks pregnant. That's still a very vulnerable time during the first trimester. And for her to participate in that is already pretty, I wouldn't say risky. I mean, obviously, I'm no gynae here, but like, it's just, you know, I've seen people get miscarriages from being upset, emotionally upset. And that's the thing, right? Like, miscarriage can happen, you know, just because, or, you know, there's no like rhyme or reason sometimes. So like, just seeing her participate in this is just, it was a cause for concern to me, because I was just worried that this might be more harmful to her and the baby than, you know, than it's worth it, right? The juice is not worth squeezing here, you know?
Yeah. And when you say it wasn't worth it, it really wasn't, because when they got into the nitty gritty of it, they were barely seeing each other. And he was like, you know, we weren't even really super close yet. I hadn't even proposed yet. And they were just like, well, but y'all were talking, right? But you were in a committed relationship at the time, though. Dude, drop it. We've all been in that phase, you know, where the relationship's kind of new, but we haven't really said we're getting married. Yeah, like, they were really trying to get, they were squeezing, right? Like you said, so little, just like trying to wring it of any juice.
Yeah.
Trying too hard, y'all.
Didn't really appreciate that from TLC. Like, that was a bad idea. And yeah, and the woman's pregnant, man. Like, leave it alone. But what about Ashley and Manuel?
There were some funny parts, obviously, when they began the whole sex magic thing and, you know, burning semen covered candles.
Oh my God.
I was like, whoa, is this what we're getting into? And I agree that, you know, I understand what they're saying, though. Sex is a healthy component in a relationship. Obviously, you can't just resort to it because the problems will still be there. But I believe it's definitely healthy. It's a good way to stay connected with each other and, you know, to get those endorphins and things like that. So yeah, they presented themselves that way on the season. So to bring it out during the tell-all, to me, wasn't as big a deal. It wasn't as deep a fish.
Yeah.
as going for Citra and Sam like that.
Yeah. What do you think of the confrontation between them and Ashley's mom and sister?
It was a conversation that needed to be had. I think they made some valid points when it came down to money, because I was shocked. I didn't know the mom was helping out too. I was like, how much money are you sending the family over there? But, you know, I guess they didn't understand his predicament. They didn't understand his perspective, which we talked about earlier, was like, you really have to see where he's coming from to understand that when he's coming here and he's seeing American excess, it's not computing. It's like, well, why do we need all these things?
Yeah.
So you have to see it from his perspective, and it allowed him the opportunity to speak his truth and to say, okay, well, you have to understand, when I was growing up, my experience was like this. And I think they got off on a better foot, like getting to really understand that. I hope that wasn't just for the cameras, but it seemed like they genuinely connected and understood. And I think it's going to be helpful, definitely beneficial moving forward. So yeah, you know, that switch, you know, happened in front of us, and we were like, okay, like, they're progressing and things are moving forward with this. Yeah. Poverty is poverty wherever you go. And I think you can relate to that. And what I've heard some people say is like, American poverty is different from like third world poverty or like other countries or nations' poverty.
Yeah.
Right. So,
and that's why I totally understand when he got mad at her for buying takeout coffee when she has a coffee machine, because where he's from, it's probably costly and hard to get, you know, like your boutique coffee, you know, your hipster coffee. And like, you hit the nail on the head there when you said other countries' poverty looks totally different than the so-called poverty here in the US. So I think the biggest shocker for me was the fact that the mom was helping out. Other than that, I appreciate the fact that Manuel is now more accepting of her witchcraft, I guess, or her witch practice.
Right.
He's pretty much chill about it. Like, he was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, she does this. Okay. Like, he's almost so chill. He's too chill.
Yeah.
It doesn't faze him anymore, you know?
To me, even that was just a language barrier. You know, witch is just witch in Spanish. It's just bruja, right? Like, it's just witch, and it has the negative connotation. You know, there aren't, oh, well, I'm a different witch. I'm not a bad witch. You know what I mean? There's different types. Even that was difficult for me. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, witches? What? What's this? Because, you know, media and Halloween and just the way witches are portrayed, when you start to see that there's different things, and we just call them witch because that's just what it, just the, our language, right? Not that she's into bad things or anything like that. So even that, I just felt was kind of a language thing, more or less.
Yeah, yeah. She's not the kind that you burn at the stake, I guess.
Right.
So she's more of the tarot card reading, crystal saging, penis kindling.
Improve your sex life.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, more like the vibes. But yeah, overall, I think Stacy and Sienna, Ashley's mom and sister, they're so sweet. Like, they came off as classy as well. Like, they're not about starting drama and being over melodramatic about this. And I think the way Ashley and Manuel handle their segment was great. You know, nothing dramatic. Nobody walked off.
Right.
Or anything. So yeah, I really appreciate
it. Was just
that.
Uncomfortable to see the bathroom scene again. That's a little uncomfortable, and then people watch that and you're just like, you can't say anything that happened, right? You're
just like, it was so casual.
You have to own up to it.
Yeah. I just can't believe how casual it was. It wasn't like they were like seducing each other. It was just like, okay, come here with me, please. And they like
I had the subtitles on, and the subtitles panting.
Like, panting. Moaning.
Just okay.
Okay, so let's move on to Clayton and Annalie.
You know, I don't have really much to say about them other than like Brandy stirring the pot. I felt like Annalie was caught a little bit off guard because it seemed like Annalie was under this
impression
that they were on
good
terms or on better terms.
Yeah.
And then Brandy comes out here and just blindsides her with like, well, I don't really like it. Blah, blah, blah. And Annalie's like, where is this coming from? Yeah. Right. Like, and I was surprised because I really did think that, you know, they were better or they were in a better place.
Yeah. And off the bat, people were gunning for for Clayton for keeping his mom in the closet.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't really explain it that well because he was like, well, the gerbils, you know, or whatever, hamsters or whatever, they need X, Y, Z. And I'm like, your mom needs the same thing. Yeah. That's not a great argument.
And he was like, what am I supposed to do? It's a one bedroom. And then, like, you can tell, like, other people were not impressed by that reasoning as well because, like, okay, if it's a one bedroom, why don't you sleep outside? Why don't your mom get the privacy, you know? Why don't your mom get the bedroom? I just cannot fathom putting your mom in a closet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it seems like it was a temporary thing, right? Because they have moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So hopefully they have a bigger home. Did they say the mom followed them? I think they did say the mom followed them. But I think he also said the mom got in her own apartment or something.
Yeah, I think they're separated now.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Back to the Brandy thing. Yeah, her calling them odd, it reeks of her suspicion for why Annalie is there. It's for the green card. It's like, she has reiterated multiple times that she would rather him move to Peru than her move to the US. It pisses me off when, like, people are suspicious of other people coming to the US.
Yeah. Like,
what's the deal, man? Not everything has to be like, oh no, you're trapping someone for the green card. Like, come on.
And she got called out for it by Clayton. She was basically putting her standards of how couples should be onto them. This is going to be my 10th year, and I'm not constantly putting pictures of her up on my social media. You know what I mean? Like, oh, she doesn't post them on socials and stuff. Well, some people are just private like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not constantly like, oh, guys, here's my girlfriend, by the way. We've been together for 10 years all over my social media. You know what I mean? Oh, and look how they're sitting and stuff. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was such a stretch. I feel like Randy was just trying to nitpick and trying to, like, fault them for every single thing. And it was just unsuccessful.
Yeah. If anything, for me, the big thing that kind of got brushed under the rug was her having to inform her dad, because I think that is definitely a relationship that's going to take some work if he's going to accept it at all, because one, he didn't want to show up, which is understandable. But then the message was like, reconsider and come home. Like, you don't need anything there. Like, he does not want her to be there at all, or married even for that matter.
Yep.
That was like big yikes for me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. That hurts. I can only imagine how heartbroken Annalie must be feeling, you know, not getting her dad's blessings.
Mm-hmm. And that's a relationship that's going to have to be mended somehow. I don't know if they're going to continue to show Clayton and Annalie. Did you brush up on that, or are we getting?
No, they're not. They're not coming back for Happily Ever After. I mean, who knows? They may be featured on 90 Day Diaries, but yeah, they're not coming back. Rob and Sophie will be coming back.
I feel like I was right about Claire and how Claire acted at the wedding, because Claire definitely came on the tell-all and doubled down. And I was like, I knew it. Like, she just didn't want them to get married. She just doesn't like Rob. And she really, like, doubled down on it and was like, no, I don't think they're supposed to be together. He's not the right man for her. I was like, I knew it. So yeah, that's going to be a tough relationship.
Yeah. I mean, not getting along with your in-laws is always going to be such a huge burden on your relationship, because it's always going to be in the rearview mirror. It's an unresolved thing that follows you like a shadow. And until they get it resolved, I just don't know how. I mean, it's going to be haunting them basically, because Sophie obviously is going to favor her mom. She said she's objective, but I mean, it's a mom. It's hard to like disagree with your mom, I feel.
Right.
And Rob is always going to feel undervalued and emasculated because there's two women going after him, bashing him for not being good enough. So I feel for Rob, but yeah, I also feel for Sophie and the difficult position that she's in. She's stuck between a rock and a hard place here.
Right. You
know, she just wants both of them to like get along, and it doesn't seem like they're going to be getting along anytime soon. But what's shocking from their segment was the fact that Claire paid for their life in Mexico, or the rent at least in Mexico, when they were living there for 1 year.
For how long?
A year.
I thought he got some responsibilities and started, you know, handling his own.
No, I think they blurted out that Claire paid for the rent in Mexico, and then Rob was like shocked. He was like, wait, what? And then Sophie kind of like brushed it aside by saying, I'm trying to hear what she's trying to say. And I was like, dude, like, he probably doesn't know that the mom has been financing them while they were living in Mexico.
Well, that, yeah, that's what I thought too, because he did seem surprised, and that's why I was like, okay, yeah. Wait, I thought.
And then Sophie didn't want to address it. She kind of brushed it aside, and then she kind of distracted the whole thing by saying, well, the issue here is that you and my mom have beef. But it's like, it's clear that the mom has beef with him because she's also feeling sore about the fact that she did pay for them to be together. So, you know, had Rob known that, he probably could understand why she's being annoyed with him, because it just seems like he was not well prepared for her arrival here. But then again, her preference to pause on the visa doesn't make sense either, because that's money that you're just going to be thrown out of the window, basically. Like, you can't exactly pause it. The visa process is just, it's a water that just goes downstream. Like, I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but there's no, like, stopping it. You just have to go through it, or you restart, which means you pay for it all over again. So that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You know,
so I think he did his best. And could he have done better? Yeah, I guess. I mean, you could find a house with an attached bathroom in a safer neighborhood for sure. But it also sounds like Rob was in a bad state, like he was down on his luck, like he had lost a job, and he was working multiple jobs. Just seems like he was probably depressed and lonely. Yeah.
I still feel like afterwards, though, that he started improving the situation.
Yeah.
And he's not getting credit for it, which is why he's so, like, hurt. But,
yeah.
Yeah, he feels like he is stepping up, and that he is doing the things that Claire is asking him to do, but it's still not enough.
Right.
And he feels underappreciated. And then Sophie, rather than recognize that he is, you know, at least putting in effort to step up, she's just kind of, like you said, constantly sided with her mom and says, well, it's not enough. It's not enough. And when he said, look, like, I'm by myself, I felt bad for him when he said that, because I don't think you should feel that way at all, especially once you've already married. Feel that you're alone. Yeah.
And the cast members called her out on it during the lunch break or whatever, because they said, like, so do you not feel like he loves you, or has he not done enough? I think, is it Ashley or someone else was saying, yeah, but he did this. And then her rebuttal to that was, well, he could have done more to make me feel more comfortable. And I'm like, but girl, you know his situation. He said that you should have known his situation. I think there were some parts that was not revealed as to like what kind of situation he was in. But it just seems like he's trying to say he's doing his best despite being down and out. I mean, hopefully this is all fake, but Sophie didn't have a good comeback to when people ask, like, but didn't he do it enough for you? Like, he did all this stuff for you. He paid for your visa. He has a house ready for you, blah, blah, blah. And her best response was, oh, yeah, he could have done things to make me feel more comfortable. And I'm like,
families have a lot going on.
Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know what it is. I think that they showed it in the beginning of the season, how she definitely comes from a more privileged life or is used to living a lifestyle at a certain level.
Yeah.
And now that she's with Rob, he's not able to match that. He's doing his best with the means that he has, but it's not quite to the level that she was already living at. Yeah. So for her, it's hard for her to see the effort that he's putting in. She's probably comparing it to the life she used to have.
Yeah.
And she's not happy with it. So it's like, you need to do more. I want more. I left my life to be with you and this is what I get. You know what I mean? I think she's coming from it from that perspective, but you have to know that when you're getting married, all that, your previous life goes out the window. You have to build a life with the person you're with now. And that means, adapting to the struggles and going through that journey together until you get to that point. But it doesn't look like she's happy and wants to do that. And I don't think Claire wants her to do that either.
I mean, I might be biased here, but coming from London to LA, it's different. I mean, I don't want to say it's a downgrade, but it's different, you know, because in London, you don't need to own a car and you can still get around. In LA, it's harder. And, you know, assuming Sophie came from a decent neighborhood, I think she said she came from South London, which is actually not a, you know, it's not so bad, but it's not exactly like West London, which is more posh. Like, I think she's probably used to amenities. Obviously, she's used to like a nicer apartment, maybe, especially one with an attached bathroom. But it's just life is so different in LA, like lifestyle-wise. Mm-hmm. You know, like you definitely need to have a car in LA in order to enjoy LA, you know, to enjoy SoCal. Yeah, I definitely think that she and her mom set a bar really high and Rob was just not in the place to like meet that bar. And yeah, I do believe he did try his best, but then he also online cheated on her and sometimes he comes off as douchey, so doesn't have that going for him. So it's hard to empathize sometimes, but
I like how Justin compared that to like women have cats. Oh, he's just talking when you're bored and stuff, you know, and you hit up different women. It's like women having cats.
He compared that to gaming. He said it's like virtual game, you know, with the glasses. Yes. Like this idiot. Oh, Justin. But at least Sophie's hair is nice. It looks nice now. I approve. She went back to her natural roots anyway.
Is that her dark hair color, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
it made her look older for sure.
Yeah. Well, she's biracial. If you compare her like before and after, like, you can see the difference in how she used to look and or what she was supposed to look like and now. So,
yeah, you know.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about Jasmine and Gino or Nikki and Igor?
Let's get Jasmine and Gino out the way.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Oh, gosh.
More drama.
Yeah, there's two things that stirred me from Jasmine and Gino particularly. Well, three things. Make that three. One, how the hell did Gino allow the film crew to capture his bachelor party without thinking that there's going to be repercussion? Mm. Like, 90 Day Fiancé crew following you to the strip club to capture you and your family enjoying your bachelor party. Like, come on. You know that footage is going to end up somewhere, either during the tell-all or like somehow it's going to get leaked to Jasmine. Like, what were you thinking, right? So that's one. Two, I don't like that Jasmine calls her meltdowns panic attacks. I suffer from panic attacks. That's not a panic attack. That's a fucking meltdown. That's unhinged, explosive behavior from a grown-ass woman. That's not a panic attack. So please don't conflate the two. Like, that's offensive to people who actually suffers from actual panic attacks. And then three, what's up with that typed out letter and underwear with yeast or whatever? Like, how thick is that shit?
And she had it in her
purse. Gone too far now.
Come on. Yeah.
Like, who, which stripper or whoever, right? Escort or whatever that supposedly, you know, gave her that letter or left that package. Like, who has time to type it out and print it?
And then deliver it to your doorstep. Come on.
Yeah. Like, it's so vindictive. Like, who would go that far? Like, at the most, I would email it. Like, come on. Like, in this day and age, like, who goes that far for someone like Gino? Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's totally fake. Totally
See,
fake.
So I'm team Gino in this situation. I think he let them film because he genuinely didn't think he was doing anything wrong. And from the recording, I thought it was pretty basic bachelor party stuff. To me, it didn't seem like he crossed any lines. But I also, like you said, know that TLC was eating it up and was like, oh, Jasmine's going to have a field day with this. Right. And they were just like, just let the cameras run whatever you capture, you know, no matter how big, small, whatever. They knew that she would flip out. And I do feel bad sometimes for Jasmine, but in this tell-all section, I feel that she was just going through the motions. I feel like it wasn't as bad as she made it out to be, that she just needed to bring out the tears and to walk off the set and to just do the Jasmine show all over again that we're so used to seeing. You know, and Gino's like, she's overreacting.
Reacting, totally.
And I felt that way. I understood what he meant by that. I'm like, totally. You know, and there have been times when I've sided with Jasmine. I've empathized with her and be like, yeah, that is wrong. But in this particular case, you know, it just felt like she really needed to go out with a bang. She knew it was the tell-all, and she just seemed like she wanted the camera to always be on her this episode. All the dramatics were flying out, and one last thing, guys, one last thing. And just like, here we go. She opens it up. I'm like, ugh. If that's real, you brought that? You carried that in your little purse? Don't touch it. Don't touch it. But you had it in your purse marinating for how long? Like, you know, and again, it's most likely fake, which I believe it is. Not that she had anything to do with that. You know, I do think it was, you know, someone being vindictive or some fan who just was like, oh, I bet she's going to freak out when she sees this. And, you know, probably did that. But like, just brush it off. And I just don't believe 100%. That it was a genuine reaction from her.
Not even that's the handshaking. Not even the handshaking. I don't believe that's even remotely real. Again, as someone who suffers from panic attack, it's just hard to believe her. It's just hard. It's as hard as believing that whether the lip gloss is fresh. And I think with Jasmine, I found the right words for this recently, Lon. I think with Jasmine, I have compassion fatigue. You know, just like how for some of these cast members, like, for example, Darcy especially, compassion fatigue. Like, I no longer feel anything for her, empathy or whatever. Like, yeah, maybe empathy for sure. But like compassion, like...
After a while, it's hard to care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just the fatigue from it, you know? And you're right. Jasmine is just doing Jasmine things. Like, she's doing what she thinks the 90 Day Fiancé viewers are expecting her to do, which is to flip out, have a meltdown, crying loudly, wailing, you know, just being attention grabbing and obviously showing off her girls and you know, just flirting with her cast members or whatever, right? I'm over that. Like, I don't need to see that. Just like how I don't need to see Big Ed anymore. I don't need to see Angela anymore. Or even Soulja Boy. I don't need to see these people anymore. There has to be other interesting people that's not going to be rinse and repeat.
Right.
You know? So if I were to choose, I guess I am team Gino in this case. And I respect the fact that he was being very chill about it too. Like, he was just holding his ground and be like, well, it's Jasmine doing Jasmine things, like Jasmine being Jasmine, you know, I'm yeah. just, oh, sorry, it's Jasmine doing Jasmine things. It's just too much. I don't even think that that's from a fan or an ex. Like, I think that was just them cooking this up. That's probably her underwear, her yeast, you know.
Plot twist. It was Jasmine the entire time. Jasmine
all along.
Right. It was Jasmine the entire time.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and it's too bad for us that they're coming back again. Gosh, there has to be a... Okay, I know it's election years, y'all, but there has to be a term limit for, like, some of these cast members. Like, two, you're out. Like, come on. Yeah. They only appear up to two... maybe three times, you know, maybe pillow talk after that. Like, you got to graduate to, like, pillow talk.
Right.
You have, like, small dosages
you matriculate.
Yeah. But none of this, like, continuation, like, you know, like the other way, or like, you know, before the 90 days and then 90 days and then now happily. No. You don't get to rinse and repeat. Yeah. That has to be a rule, man. Term limit.
The pipeline's getting too long for some of these people.
So, Nikki and Igor.
I thought they were the most interesting in this episode of the tell-all.
I'm confused. Are they still engaged? Because it's a yes, right?
But They were. But at the end of the episode, she ended with, now I have to send my message to my lawyer to get them to stop the visa, was how it ended during the rolling of the credits or whatever, when everyone's exiting,
they,
you know,
changed out and they packed up and everything.
Yeah. Right. But they were.
She will poop.
Yeah. Getting into the tell-all, they were together, or she was, you know, had the visa application or whatever have you.
Yeah.
Love is complicated, y'all.
I know. But it's just sad to learn that he's not trans attracted. But here's the thing. So I went through the forums, and people were reminding us that he didn't know that she was trans until much, much later. So
right,
a lot of people, including trans women who posted on these forums, even said that it just seems like she was grooming him. And again, unpopular hot take here. If you don't disclose important details like that, you're basically raping people. And this is coming from this post from someone who claims to be a trans woman. And she said that even she feels that Nikki is not a good representation of the trans community, because you don't go hiding yourself. You have to disclose those things, because otherwise it just comes
at a certain point in your relationship. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that, your partner is getting into the relationship informed, right?
That this is how you're going to be making love or whatever, right? Because otherwise it's as good as ripping off the condom midway or poking the condom. You know, it's like, it's that kind of scenario where it is considered rape. Again, I know this is heavy stuff, but I can link the post in our show description or show notes, but yeah, that's apparently coming from a trans woman that says that he's not happy with the way Nikki portrays herself. It just seems like she's grooming. She has been grooming Justin, you know? But he did say some really hurtful stuff. Like, he said she doesn't know how to act like a lady. He gives off men vibe. Maybe it's, I don't want to make excuses for him, but maybe it's bad translation, but he did say some really nasty stuff, and I can see how the women, you know, amongst the cast member were ganging up on him, but it's always the same women. The classy ones are just chill. It's always like, you know, Ashley and Jasmine that are like really, really, really vocal about the way he treats Nikki, rightfully so in some cases, but I mean, Nikki's not innocent as well, I feel.
Yeah. So y'all buckle yourselves in, because this is going to be a hot take slash unpopular opinion. I want to preface this by saying, like, I love the trans community, non-binary community. I'm viewing this through the lens of a male with a language barrier and who's learning about this community, who's trying to deal as best he can with his attraction, you know, and having to undo years of what he's learned up to this point and what it means to be in a relationship with a trans woman. Okay. Mm-hmm. So don't come for me. Or if you come for me, I'm up for the dialogue. I'm open to learning myself. But yeah, buckle yourselves in, right? I'm not siding with how hurtful Justin was. I believe Nikki feels every right to be validated about, you know, the language he's using. I do want to say, though, that this guy, you know, like you said, he didn't know she was trans and he was attracted to her. So that's trans attraction right there, you know, to a point, up until maybe once he realized, and then he had to deal with what that means and what that comes with, and having to reveal that to a society, to his parents. And, you know, I think he does love her. I understood what he was talking about, you know, with the breakup, because you can love someone and be unhappy and not know how to leave until the opportunity presents itself. Mm-hmm. And I think he could have been in that place, because I've been in that place, you know, in my own like hetero relationships where I was unhappy, but I love the person, but how do I leave, you know? And then he gets this opportunity where it's a fight and it's a bad one. It's a bad fight. Mm-hmm. And it just clicks in his mind that he's like, look, what are you doing? Why are you in this relationship when you're fighting all the time? And yeah, is love in this particular case, maybe it's just not enough. And he had this moment of like, it hit him and he's like, I'm unhappy and we need to break up. But again, love is complicated. So they were getting back together again. And I understand that. You can ask anybody who's been in a cyclical, you know, relationship of breaking up and making up, that this happens, right? And to go with the whole man vibes thing, I get it. It's hurtful. It's hurtful, you know, when you're a trans woman to be constantly compared in this way. But again, I think it's a language barrier. It's a misunderstanding and miscommunication. I think what he's really trying to get at is like masculine energy and feminine energy. And even that is gendered language that society produced. Where
is that your twin flames reference right there?
What's that? twin flames. Right. And all we're doing is we as a society attributed softness to women and aggression to men. And we picked and chose these qualities. And we said these qualities are feminine and these, you know, qualities are masculine, when really we all have that. We are all capable of that. Man, woman, non-binary, trans, whatever. We all have that. It's just we prescribed those qualities and characteristics to particular genders. And I think that's where he's getting at, because he compared Nikki to Ashley, right? Mm. And he compared her to that. And that's when it clicked for me, was like, it's not that he's saying Ashley is also manly. It's that Ashley at times would get loud and would become an aggressive woman, where he was like, well, if you're going to treat me like a man, or, you know, then I'll treat you like... I think that's what he was trying to get at, was like, you're being aggressive with me. And it came, obviously, he's going to say man vibes. What else is he doesn't have the language to properly say what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
But I think that's what he meant by man vibes. Not that you're manly or whatever, which is very hurtful. I get it. And I'm not trying to defend that. I'm just saying there's gendered language here that's being used. And he's navigating it as best he can as someone who doesn't speak English that great. Yeah. And I think that's where all this was coming from, because he also said that, you know, Ashley was giving off the same energy as Nikki. And he wasn't trying to be offensive to Ashley being a heterosexual woman or whatever have you. So I think there's a lot of like complexities here to unwrap. Yeah. And I think we need to just be a little more understanding, or try to understand where he's coming from. Yeah, it totally made him look like an asshole. I get it. And, you know, I feel bad for Nikki having to hear that as a trans woman and to having to deal with that herself. But I just think there were so many things that got misunderstood. Like when he told Nikki, when she said, like, I love you, and he said, well, what about me do you love? The upper part mm-hmm. or the lower part? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think instantly everyone sexualized it. And they were like, what are you getting at? But I think what he meant by that was like, do you love me for my mind, for my personality, or just when you want sex? You know, and that's a fair question. Women ask that question all the time when men are like, oh, I love you. Like, well, what do you love me for? Do you love me because I'm like, I'm a human being, or just because you want to have sex all the time? And I think that's what he was getting at when he's like, for my lower or for my upper, you know? And he, again, this language barrier. And for me, I interpreted that differently, but everyone just sexualized it and like, oh, what are you saying? Or you're making a reference to, you know, we're not going to get into that, but I could understand the offense that people took, and especially for Nikki. But I think if we just take some time to maybe unwrap or try to understand what he's getting at, for me, I didn't see it that way. Like, it was more like, well, what do you love me for? Because in the season, she kept stressing that all the time. Well, you need to have sex. We need to have sex, 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 sex. And he's like, is it always going to be about like sex with you? You know what I mean? So I get that. I get where he's like, well, what do you love me for then? Is it for this or this? You know what I mean? Like, I kind of get that. And I'm down to have a conversation with anybody who wants to come for me. Like, let's talk about it, you know, and I'm down to have an open conversation. I'm learning myself, you know, so I'm open to have constructive feedback and we can talk about it. So that's where I stand on.
Yeah, I'm there with you, except the part where maybe I was being shallow as well. Like when he asked which part, the upper or the lower? Like the upper, I translate that as the looks or the sex. So I didn't translate that as the heart or sex. The thing with Nikki and Justin too that complicates things is the fact that there's the power imbalance of Nikki supporting Justin financially.
Right. That was the reason they fought, right? Was he got in a car accident or something and she felt like she was just a money machine or something?
Yeah. His car broke down. I guess he wanted help, financial help. And I guess I'm just trying to like wrap my mind around this relationship. And I think it is kind of toxic because if you think about it, it's almost like she's paying him for sex. Mm-hmm. If there's an exchange here.
Oh, like, I see that.
You know what I mean? Because I have to say, like, when we start watching Nikki and Justin, first of all, I'm glad that there's representation here, right? There's representation from the trans community. I was like, yeah, that's progressive for TLC. Great. But then like when she started giving him ultimatums and having meltdowns for them not having sex, I'm like, is this a healthy relationship? And now it culminates to this. Now I'm starting to think, is this an exchange, right? So she supports him financially. And in return, she expects him to pleasure her, you know?
Yeah.
And that is not a great basis of a strong relationship. But it's been like that for like, what, almost 17, 20 years, apparently? It's not their first rodeo at trying to get a visa to the U.S., I believe. I think they were pursuing it. And then I think it got paused or something, or they broke up. And then now they restarted the process. So I don't know. It's just...
It's a complicated relationship. It really is.
And then there also that element of like, since it's been going on for so long, like, was he really being groomed? Because she didn't disclose those information to him. And now he's stuck.
It's a long time to be together. Yeah. Like 10 years are going on or something like that.
Yeah. It's almost 17, apparently.
Oh.
And then the other thing too, did he choose to be stuck because he just wants the money? And because there's distance between them, so he's comfortable taking her money as long as she doesn't just randomly shows up at his doorstep wanting sex. I have to say, like, Nikki and Justin's dynamic, their relationship is very interesting. Like, we can go on and on dissecting this, but again, we also have to bear in mind and take this with a grain of salt. Like, this is probably scripted. There's a bit of fake acting, a bit of exaggeration. So you kind of don't know what the real truth is. And maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle or somewhere.
Yeah, I'll go with that. The truth is somewhere in the middle, especially with what we know about 90 Day Fiancé, reality TV in general, and editing and narratives that get created. And, you know, half truths, and we're not getting all of the story. I get it. Totally.
Yeah. And on that note, Lon, what is your WTF moment?
Had to be when Jasmine was like, hold on, y'all. I got one more thing. I'm just like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? I just want one more thing. I just want to bring this out. Why would you want to bring this out? I'm like, oh no, right? And she just made this entire scene of it. And now we have dirty underwear on the floor. Someone's trying to bring it out with their foot. And then everyone's saying, well, put it back in. I don't want to see it. And we get this the climactic scene. And I'm just like, what are we watching right now? You know, and Gino's like, I don't know who that's from. You know, he's again on the defensive, trying to defend himself. And Jasmine's freaking out again, like, who does this or that? And it's just like, wow, like, never did I think this would be what I was watching when, you know, I started watching 90 Day Fiancé. But here we are.
Here we are.
With a podcast, WTF. And I was like, this is certainly like my WTF.
WTF Hall of Fame right there.
Yeah. That's a hard one to top. And again, this is how you get another season, because TLC knows that they have a moneymaker here. Like, I can't put it past me to go, look, like, Jasmine knows how to be on this show. Jasmine knows how to create these dramatic moments. Like, she is like the person that the producers are looking for. And she creates these moments storming off the set. Gino, this is it. This is the final. I will never forgive you. We've heard that one a lot, right? She knows how to create these moments. And poor Gino. Gino's like, he doesn't know. It's like he defends himself, but he knows it's not going to go anywhere. So he half-asses his defense. By the way, it's hurtful, the things you say to me about sex. And then he just leaves it at that. And she's crying and stuff. And
he never compliments me.
Yeah. And he compliments her all the time. Come on. He compliments her, right? Like,
yeah, dude. Like, how many times does he say she's beautiful?
Yes. Like, anyways. What about you, Nadia?
Stupid Gino. This is what you get, you play Gino. Sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of her. But I definitely can confirm that's not a panic attack. So that's my WTF moment, is when she had that meltdown, came back to apologize, calling it panic attack. I was like, girl, please. No. Just no. The handshaking was also another WTF moment for me. Like, Clayton, please hold this, my hand is shaking. I'm like, no, no, no. Take more acting classes. Like, no, it's not.
You should have zoomed in on it, you know, with the.
Yeah, she was like.
The trauma.
Yeah. And again, you know, I can only pray that this is all fake, right? Because, you know, if it came out next season on Happily Ever After that, Jasmine does suffer from panic attacks, or she does have like some sort of, I don't know, whatever other condition, I know y'all gonna come for me. But until then, I'm gonna call it acting. So that's my WTF moment. And that is our coverage of 90 Day Fiancé Season 10 Tell All Part 1 and 2. Lon, before we wrap this up, any other topics you want to cover?
So we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, and it's something that some of y'all might have, you know, heard if you're paying attention to social media, or if you're a fan of hip hop music or just pop culture in general. But what does everybody think about the P. Diddy allegations, which, you know, are also now involving Usher, Chris Brown, and a whole host of, the deeper you go into this rabbit hole, yeah, like Justin Bieber somehow is now related to it, and it's just crazy. Guy. Yeah.
Poor guy. I can only imagine what he went through as a young kid. Because you know he supposedly lived with Diddy.
Yep. And he was also, I think, with Usher for a little bit. And who Usher also had, I guess, lived with P. Diddy as well. So I think that's where the kind of trails starts, right? Is P. Diddy and then Usher and then Justin Bieber and how that all relates. So, yeah, and there's photo evidence. Apparently, somebody's throwing P. Diddy under the bus and has, like, photos, you know, of P. Diddy's parties and, you know, P. Diddy making, like, threats and all kinds of almost unbelievable stuff. I say almost because I'm kind of on this whole trip where, like, life is different for people with money and rich people. And the lifestyles that they have, the excess is different. When I speak excess, you know, it's more than just, oh, they like to have like really crazy parties. I think it gets deeper than that even, you know, and it gets into covering up particular crimes and having particular sexual tastes that are illegal and they get away with, you know. I don't know how deep we should really go into this. I don't have all the information myself. I get my information from like Instagram and TikTok reels and things like that. But it's an interesting rabbit hole that I've just kind of been going into. And again, I don't memorize all the different names and the actors involved and all the certain allegations. But it is interesting the more time you spend in it.
Because allegedly, even Cuba Gooding Jr. was involved.
Yeah.
So I think just to catch people up, I think not too long ago, Cassie Ventura, who was Diddy's ex-girlfriend, filed a lawsuit against him claiming abuse. And when you actually read the lawsuit, I think it's made public. So there are people on TikTok that actually got hold of them and they actually break down every single allegations made against Diddy. Highly disgusting and despicable and just inhumane. We're not going to spoil it for you. I think I want to say this is a PG-13 podcast, even though it's WTF, but we don't want to go into that kind of level.
These are not topics we normally talk about on this podcast.
This one is not for the faint of heart. And if you have kids in your car while you're listening to us, definitely not the kind of topic you want to bring up. But we recommend that you go down the rabbit hole along with us while we discover more and more about, you know, all this accusation against P. Diddy and what he has done. But then if you watch the videos of people like saying that, see, this is what I mean. Like, there were videos of him acting kind of, it just matches what the allegations are.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, it's been there. It's been there. It's just, like you say, people with access, people who have power, who have money. All these bad behaviors just get swept under the rug and people just tolerate it because they're afraid for their career. They're afraid to offend. They're afraid they might get a hit on them, you know? So, yeah, it's just fascinating learning about this. But, you know, just as fascinating learning about, you know, where the heck Kate Middleton is.
Yeah.
That becomes a conspiracy. That's a different rabbit hole. But that one is more conspiracy. Like, a lot of us are still waiting to see what's actually happening. But yeah, there's a lot of suspicious activities going on with the British royal family, aka The Firm.
The Firm?
The Firm, baby. Volume 1.
Volume 1.
I guess the P. Diddy thing, I feel for Cassie, I feel for Justin Bieber. Obviously, Justin Bieber hasn't come out to say anything, but just imagine the trauma that he must have felt. You know,
right.
If these allegations are true.
To your point, like what you were saying earlier is the evidence has always been there. We just didn't have the context for it. So a lot of these clips that I'm seeing on TikTok and stuff, they're like clips that some of them I have seen in the past, but I didn't have the context that I have now. So I didn't interpret it any particular way. But now that they're showing these particular clips For instance, Puffy hanging out with Justin Bieber, and he'll say something that makes Justin look uncomfortable. But at the time the footage was released, before these allegations, you wouldn't think anything. You're just like, oh, Justin's like, what are you talking about? But now when we have this context, Justin is like looking at him scared. Oh my gosh, something must have happened. And it's like Puffy was hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Is the best way I can put it. He's saying he's brazen enough to say these things on camera, like knowing that he has power, knowing that the people that are there around him aren't going to say anything about it. And he's just saying these things. And now that I'm seeing these videos that are being released, it was there in front of us. And we just didn't have the context to put it all together. We kind of maybe just missed it, or we just didn't know what we were seeing. And it's just interesting. And yeah, like you said, I feel bad for Justin Bieber, especially the clips that I saw, at least, where he looks visibly like uncomfortable. And he's like, this isn't too graphic. You know, Puffy is just like, why didn't you call me, you know, the other night?
Why haven't we hung out?
Yeah, why aren't we hanging out anymore? You know,
you can tell Justin was like super.
And it was just like, yeah.
Uncomfortable with that question. Yeah.
He said something like, oh, your phone number, I didn't have it. And he's like stuttering and stuff. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. Like, how did I not notice this? Yeah.
And then there was one video that I saw where Diddy said, you know, me and Usher wake up one, and then he stopped. And I was like, oh, especially with this context, right? You're like, oh, wake up like in the morning? Like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean you and him waking up in the morning? Like, it just becomes something else with this context that we've recently, you know, uncovered. It's like, oh, man, what?
Yeah. And there's a song lyric. Wasn't there a song lyric too? There's a song lyric that some other clip had mentioned. And with the context we have now, it's like, what the heck? Like, they even said it in a song. Like, I wish I came prepared to talk about this particular subject.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, I went down the Jay-Z rabbit hole.
Let me know. Talk about it.
Oh, my God. I think it's more like Jay-Z Beyonce rabbit hole. Because.
Oh, yeah.
I think I sent you that clip. It's like people were saying that Jay-Z wanted Blue Cantrell. I'm not sure if you remember her. You know, Hit 'Em Up Style.
Yeah.
But I guess Blue didn't want him. And so he got Beyonce. And then their firstborn, they called her Blue. Coincidence?
No. Okay. Okay.
And then some people even went further to say, actually, he wanted Aaliyah.
Aaliyah.
And Aaliyah was a Beyonce before Beyonce was Beyonce, if you know what I mean. But then Damon Dash got Aaliyah. And some people even suggest that maybe that's the cause of her demise. Again, if that was the case, super sad, because I was a huge fan of Aaliyah, and Aaliyah herself went through a lot with R. Kelly, if you guys watched Surviving R. Kelly. And I know she didn't come on to talk about it, because I think she was very, very careful about where that might take her career to. Like, obviously back then there was no like Me Too movement, you know, Time's Up or whatever. So she kept everything on the DL. And like, it's only now that people start to realize that, yeah, R. Kelly probably raped this chick, you know, and she got pregnant from it, and she had to go through an abortion, a forced abortion, because she was so young back then. And then that's as much as I can cover, because I'm not an investigative journalist. Yeah. I'm just passive really, social really media. Quick,
all the stuff about P. Diddy, Jay-Z and stuff, allegedly, y'all, allegedly, okay? Allegedly. We are not
we're just repeating stuff that's here. Out there.
Right, we are just informing on things that we have come across. Allegedly, right? But there are documents that actually exist on the P. Diddy stuff. I'm sure if you try to find them, you can find them.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. All right, Mon, I don't know about you, but I want to thank our listeners for sticking around while waiting for us to cover the tell-all. Thank you so much. Like, subscribe, follow, share, the usual. And I just want to wish my peoples a happy Ramadan. Those of you who are fasting, I know Easter is coming up soon, right? I mean, are you still on Lent? Is it still Lent? It is,
yeah,
right?
Still Lent. Easter, I think, is going to be, I think, next month. It's coming up soon. I think there's coming another up. Couple weeks, right?
Well, it's Women's Month, I believe.
International Women's?
Yeah, International Women's Day just passed, but I believe it's Women's Month, if I'm not wrong. Yeah.
Oh, rest in peace to Akira Toriyama.
Oh, my God, the Dragon Ball
creator. Oh, right. Oh. We lost a legend. Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's a heavy note to end on. But yeah, thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.